Welcome to the podcast of Harvest Baptist Church in Harvest, Alabama. We invite you into our sanctuary as we dive into God's Word with our pastor, Dr. Al Pieringer.
Your Bible and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. I'll be reading verses 14 through 16 here in just a minute. Now, I've confessed this before to y'all, and you know, if you're a visitor, this will maybe be the first time you've heard this confession, but I have to confess something about myself. I am a nerd. That's right, I'm a geek. I am nerd. I am proud. I am nerd. Hear me roar. I don't know why that just came up in my brain. I love science fiction. I love fantasy, be it TV, be it movies, be it books, whatever. Yes, I know, I'm almost 50 years old. And I'm still a nerd, and I'm proud of it. I love to geek over TV shows and movies and books that have anything to do with that, and probably will until the day I die. One of my favorite geeky, nerdy science fiction TV shows of all time is Doctor Who, which is a British science fiction show that's been around for almost 60 years. And in this show, there's a renegade Time Lord who stole one of the time machines of his people, the Time Lords. And he goes out on all sorts of adventures and fights all sorts of monsters and things like that, fighting all this evil that lurks in the shadows, or not so much lurking in the shadows. You know, with this time machine, he can go wherever he wants, whenever he wants, any time on the calendar, any place in the universe, be it a distant planet, be it here on Earth. He seems to really like London a lot. I mean, I guess it is a British TV show, but he's there a lot. He can go way in the distant past. He can go far into the future and all over the place. The Doctor and his companions go, you know, they're able to see so much and do so much. And, you know, in some of the adventures, he's visited people who were real. You know, he's visited Queen Elizabeth I. He's visited Marco Polo. He's visited Charles Dickens. He's visited William Shakespeare and all sorts of different stuff. Wouldn't it be cool if you had a machine that would take you anywhere to see anything at any time period? I mean, think about, where would you go? If you were able to go just wherever you wanted, where would you go? Who would you go see? You know, what if I told you that you had the capability of visiting the greatest place in existence, able to visit with the greatest being in existence, and you don't even need a time machine to do it? What if I said you, even at this moment, could go to the greatest place in existence and visit with the greatest being in existence, even right now? And all of a sudden, you're starting to daydream. What am I talking about? Well, here's the thing. God has granted us the privilege of coming into His presence at any time, from anywhere, to fellowship with Him, to bring our concerns to Him, to talk with Him, to strengthen our relationship with Him. And yet, so few Christians actually take advantage of this. Now, we know this is prayer. And let me tell you something, prayer is even better than a time machine. You can actually be with God in prayer in a special way. I mean, I know God is omnipresent, He's everywhere, so technically you're with God no matter where you are. But I'm talking about in a very real, tangible way. You have access to God. You can fellowship with Him. You can bring your needs before Him. Why would we not take advantage of that? I'm beginning a new series calling it A Summer of Prayer. And I think it's actually rather timely that I start this series this week, because Thursday is the National Day of Prayer. And so I pray that you're going to do a lot of praying on the National Day of Prayer, but hopefully even more so than just that one day. My hope is that the series will not only teach us what prayer is about, but that it is an encouragement to all of us to start a daily prayer life if we've never really had one. or if we have had one, maybe to increase the prayer life that we already have. In the passage that we're looking at today in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, the author of Hebrews, whoever it might be, there's a lot of speculation about that, but he wrote that God's provision of eternal rest has opened a way for sinful humanity to approach God. And what we learn from this is that as Christians, we are able to enjoy direct access to God at any time through prayer. So why don't we take advantage of that? Let's read verses 14 through 16 if you'll stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy word. The author wrote this, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Heavenly Father, I pray that you would drive this truth into us, into our minds, into our hearts, into our very being. What a privilege we have, as the song says, to bring everything to you in prayer. So let's take advantage of it. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So I want to consider the Christian belief about prayer today as it being about having access to God. So I want to talk about this access that we have to God. And first, today, I want to talk about the location of our access. The location of our access. Verse 16 says something very interesting. It says that we are able to draw near to the throne of grace. Think about that a moment. We're able to draw near to the throne. We can walk right up to God sitting on his throne and commune with him. I mean, God's throne is in the heavenly temple, and now there is no barrier that prevents us from walking right into that temple, right up to that throne, and bringing our very petitions to the Lord. Nothing will stop us. There's no cherubim or seraphim or any other heavenly being that would stop us from right now having access to this throne. I mean, this might seem elementary to us Christians who have grown up in the church and things like that, but I'll tell you what, this, especially to people in biblical times in the ancient Near East, would be an amazing thing. Because no one just walks up to a throne. You don't just walk up to the king. You have to be invited. You have to be led there. Not even the earthly kings in biblical times, I mean, no one could just walk up to them. Not even their advisors. You even see something like this in the book of Esther. If you remember the book of Esther, you know, she became the king's wife, very cherished wife. But even as the cherished wife of the king, she couldn't just walk up to the king. Unless he pointed the scepter to her, she couldn't just walk up to and start talking to him. Otherwise, you do something like that, you're killed. No one just has access to the king. And yet here is the author of Hebrews saying, you have access to the king. You can go into the heavenly temple and into the presence of the throne, right up to it. This is an amazing thing. You think about the history of Israel and how God chose Israel and how God gave the law and gave all these specifications about the tabernacle and eventually the temple that was built. And so you think about, you know, the tabernacle and temple was the place to go worship. But not just anyone, not just even any Israelite could walk into the tabernacle or the temple, walk into the Holy of Holies and be right there with God. We know that God manifested his presence above the Ark of the Covenant. And right there, the cover of the Ark of the Covenant is the mercy seat. No one could just walk in there in front of the mercy seat and just start spewing, you know, here's what I need, Lord. What's, you know, let me commune with you. No, only the high priest could go behind the curtain of the Holy of Holies, and that only one time a year. And not just anyone could be priests. They had to be a descendant of Aaron. They you know, you read it says they couldn't have any physical defects. They couldn't have problems with their eyes or their hands or this or that or any sort of disease. I mean, you had to be a perfect physical specimen from the line of Aaron just to be able to go in once a year. Not just anyone could walk into the presence of God. And yet, the author of Hebrews tells us that we are able to draw near to God on His heavenly throne at any time. Not just one day a year. Not just, well, I can only do this at 9 a.m. Anytime, wherever you might be, you are able to enter into the heavenly throne room and go to the throne of grace. Doesn't matter if you have physical defects. Doesn't matter if you have this, if you have that, if this is a problem, if that's a problem, you got this baggage, you got that baggage. It doesn't matter. You are able to walk into the heavenly throne room, to the throne of grace, and there you can meet with God. We have access to God at His throne, in the heavenly throne room, right now. What, how could that be? How in the world? Why do we have such a privilege? Well, that's what I want to talk about secondly today. I want to talk about the means of our access. The means. How we actually get there. How is it that we're able to gain access to God, this holy God, being such imperfect people? How can we get anywhere near this holy God, much less go up to His throne? Well, the author of Hebrews gives us the answer. He tells us that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. We have Jesus Christ, who has completed everything that was necessary, who brought down all the barriers between us and God. And now we're able to draw near at any time. You know, again, you know, this picture of Jesus as the high priest looks to the Day of Atonement that God had set up for the Jews. Jesus, you know, the Day of Atonement and everything that happened there was a picture of Christ and what it was that He was going to do and what He accomplished and why now we have this access to God. So on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would pick two lambs. They would bring two lambs without defect, without any problems, you know, without any blemishes. One of the lambs would be sacrificed and its blood would be taken into that Holy of Holies and you know, blood would be sprinkled on the cover, the mercy seat there, where God's presence, because that mercy seat was emblematic of the throne of God, and the lamb's blood would be placed there for atonement, paying for the sins of the people. But then the high priest would take the other lamb, lay hands on it, confess the sins of the people over that lamb, and that lamb would be led into the desert, symbolizing that people's sins would be taken away from them. That had to be done year after year after year. And people's sins still were not taken care of. And no one else was able to approach the throne. No one could come anywhere near the mercy seat. No one could come near the Ark of the Covenant. No one could get behind that curtain lest they die. But Jesus Christ, who is a high priest, was also the sacrifice. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And He sacrificed Himself and He spilled His own blood to atone for our sins. And because of His sacrifice, all our sins are taken away. And as our great high priest, He entered into the heavenly throne room. He entered into the heavenly temple and He presented Himself before the Father, who accepted that sacrifice, the sacrifice that was done once and for all, no need to be repeated. And any who would believe in Him, any who would put their trust in Him, their sins are cleansed, and now they have direct access to God. No barriers. There's no priest we have to go through except the great high priest, Jesus Christ. We don't have to have any other advocate. We don't have to have any other go-between. You know, we don't say something to someone who says something to someone who then says something to God. No, we can go straight to God. We see this pictured when Jesus died. You know, it's reported in the Gospels that when Jesus died, that large veil and very thick veil that separated the Holy of Holies, where the ark was, from the rest of the temple, it was torn in two from top to bottom, symbolizing that access has been granted to God. There is no longer a barrier. The sin that we have, that we all have, has been washed clean. Our nature has been changed. We are new creations. We are new creatures, and now we are able to access God. I mean, think about this. You think about all the security that surrounds the White House. You got gates, you got guards, you got dogs, you got cameras, you got Army and Navy and whoever else. I mean, not just anyone can walk into the White House and see the president. I mean, if I were to try to just walk through the gate and walk up to the door and try and get into the Oval Office, I'd be arrested and I'd be thrown into prison. Because not just anyone can walk in to see the president. But we are able to see God. Now, here's the thing. I talk about this access to God in the heavenly throne room. But not just anyone can go see God in the heavenly throne room. Only those who have trusted in Jesus Christ, whose sins have been taken care of. Those where the wrath of God has been taken care of, the righteous wrath of God, the just wrath of God for sins has been taken care of. Those who have repented and believed. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ, guess what? You can walk right up to the throne. There's not a gate you got to go through. There's not a security check you got to go through. There's not dogs or any other sort of security device you have to go through. If you are in Jesus Christ, you can go to that throne. And since we have such a privilege, why wouldn't we take advantage of that? If God so loved you that he sent his only son so that you could come to him, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you come to him? Thirdly, today I want to talk about our attitude, the attitude of our access. Verse 16 says that we can approach God with confidence. Now, when it says confidence, it's not talking about arrogance. We don't approach God thinking we're all that, whatever all that is. What it's saying is we are able to approach God without hindrance, without hesitation, without inhibition. We're able to approach him through Jesus Christ without any shame or guilt from stopping us because we have been freed. We have been cleansed. We have been granted full access to God. Every single Christian is granted full access to God. And that, I think, is an important point. Every Christian is granted full access to God. You know, sometimes there might be streaming services or there might be website services where, okay, they have different tiers. So you have maybe your free tier. You might get to do a little see, watch or do whatever, a little bit. Then they have their tier that's the lowest amount of money per month that you pay. And you get, you know, you get some basic stuff. It's the basic plan. You're able to access basic things. Well, then, you know, if you pay a little bit more money, you get the intermediate plan, and you get a few more things that you have access to. And then, if you pay a whole bunch of money per month, you get the deluxe plan. And you're able to access everything that there is. That's not the way it works with God. It's not like that there's different classes of people or different classes of holiness where, okay, you got to be this holy in order to gain this much access to God. Well, and then you got to go to the next level, to this intermediate level, and then you get all the intermediate access to God. And boy, if you're super duper holy, you get the whole deluxe thing. You get the whole package. That's not the way it works with God. You as a Christian are able to access God with everything. I mean, he holds nothing back from you. That's the amazing thing. We all have full access. Therefore, we all can come with confidence. We can all come with confidence before God. That word confidence in ancient Greek, it described the right of a citizen to speak his or her mind at a town assembly. You can talk about anything with this word confidence. It speaks about an openness to be able to be outspoken and plain, a boldness to come forward and talk. Here's our confidence. If we have been made clean in Christ, we can come before the throne of grace and we can talk about absolutely anything with God. We can talk about anything, and I mean anything. He wants you to come to Him even if you got an attitude. Because let's face it, sometimes we all get attitudes. And so we might be angry at God for something. We're frustrated at God for something. Talk to Him. You can have open mouths before God. Talk to Him about your frustration. Talk to Him about your anger. Talk to Him about your attitude. You can talk to Him about anything and everything. You know, sometimes we think that, well, you know, I will talk to God about the major things going on, but I don't want to bother Him with the small matters like anyone can bother God. You know, He is God. He knows anyway, so why wouldn't you? You know, and sometimes people think the exact opposite. I mean, I don't mind talking to God about little details about the day, but I'm not going to talk to Him about these major things. Somehow maybe thinking that He won't be able to handle it or something, I don't know. But either way, we're limiting God. He wants us to talk to Him about everything. And we can do it in boldness, with complete freedom. To make sure that we understand this, the writer of Hebrews wrote it again in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 23. Listen to this. It's not on the screen, but listen to this. He said, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus," that's how we get in, "by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful." We have been cleansed from an evil conscience. We have been purified through the blood of Jesus Christ. Any barriers have been taken care of. Now we can boldly come before the throne of God and speak about anything that's on our heart, with full assurance because of Jesus Christ. And something very important, our passage points out to us. He says we're able to do this in verse 15 because we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. We have a high priest who understands. We have a high priest who is able to sympathize with us. He gets that we have attitude. He gets that we have frustration. He gets that we have anger. He gets us. He understands us. He went through, you know, sometimes we forget that Jesus was fully human. He went through a lot of the same stuff that we go through, even 2,000 years later. He went through stuff that we go through. It's just that He didn't sin. He was tested, He was tried, He was tempted and all that, yet He did so without sin. But He gets us. He understands us. You know, maybe we don't pray because we think, God doesn't understand. God doesn't understand what I'm going through. You know, teens, you might say this now, and we all probably said this when we were teens. You know, we didn't think that we could talk to our folks or whoever, you know, the adults in our life, we can't talk to them, we think, because they don't understand. We think that what we're going through is unique. My parents, my aunt, uncle, grandparents, they never went through anything like that. Well, guess what? teens, we did. I mean, we may be old. It may be a few years since we've been teens, one or two, decades, many decades. But guess what? We get it. We understand because we were there. And now we have a few more miles under us. We have a little bit more understanding and hopefully a little bit more wisdom. And so we do understand and we do care and we do want to talk about it. Guess what? God is not so far away from us that he doesn't understand. Jesus Christ, God the Son, he lived a real human life as a real human. He's been there and he's done that. So he gets us. He understands us. He sympathizes with us. And because of that, we can draw near to the throne of grace with confidence, knowing that he understands and knowing that he cares. Finally, number four today, I want to talk about the gifts from our access, what we receive. The gifts from our access. You know, we're able to go to the throne of God. We're able to pray. We're able to commune with him. What does it say we receive? Well, at the end of verse 16, it says that we draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, he shows us mercy when we need mercy. He shows us grace to help us endure the experiences that we're going through. Anything we might need, he is willing to give if we would approach and ask. And I'll repeat this a few times. We have not because we ask not. But it's interesting. He gives us what we need. That last phrase in that verse literally means that we're able to find grace for timely help. We're able to find grace for timely help. He gives timely help. He gives the right help at the right time. He gives what is needed at the appropriate moment. I mean, God is a personal God. He knows us personally. He doesn't look upon this sea of humanity and say, man, look at all them bugs. Here, they need something. Let me just randomly throw stuff out at them and see what happens. He knows you by name. He knows you better than you know yourself. He doesn't give you just generic answers. He gives what a person needs personally at the time that it is needed. You know, imagine this. Imagine that you're working on a home project and then you ask someone to hand you the tools that you need when you need them. And so you ask them for a hammer and they hand you a stud finder. You ask them for a screwdriver and they hand you a saw. You ask them for a wrench and they give you a drill. Well, you know, technically they're giving you stuff. You're asking for something, they're giving you something. The problem is they're giving you the wrong thing. They're not giving you what you need when you ask for it, but that's not our God. He gives you timely help. He gives you what you need when you need it. And sometimes, even though you might not know you need it, he's going to give it to you. He'll give you what you need. God doesn't just kind of throw out random answers and random, let me just throw some blessings at them humans and then maybe they'll let me be or something like that. You know, it made me think about, you ever go to a parade and, you know, the people on the float, they're throwing candy and just and little toys out to the people that are watching the parade, you know, to all the kids and whatnot. You know, they're not looking for anyone specific. They're just taking a handful of candy and just going to, whatever, just get it out there. Well, that's not our God. I mean, God just doesn't grab a handful of blessings and say, okay, I'm just going to throw it and whoever happens to get it, gets it. He's personal. He wants you to approach to the throne of grace. Bring your petitions before him and get timely help. So this same God who gave his son to us, will he not give us anything and everything that we need? Now, he doesn't necessarily give us what we want, although sometimes he does. But he gives us what we need. He gives us timely help. The problem is, we get not because we ask not. We ask not. Oh, that we would constantly go before him in prayer. I mean, you have full access to the throne. Why would you just, just forget about it? No. This is God. who wants us to come and fellowship with him so that we would get to know him and that we would receive timely help. I read a story about a young woman named Shireen. She drifted away from God. She grew up in the church, but she drifted away from God and you know, got caught up in the world like sometimes people do. She moved in with her boyfriend, but he had bad credit, so everything was placed in her name. Well, one night, someone rang the doorbell, and it was a package being delivered. She didn't remember ordering anything, but, you know, it had her name and address on there. She thought, well, maybe my boyfriend had ordered it, whatever. So she didn't think much of it. She took it, and she set it on the counter and said, I'll talk to, you know, my boyfriend later about it, whatever. Well, a few minutes later, there was another very heavy knock on the door, and it was the police. They came in, and they searched the premises, and inside that package that had her name on it, inside her house, was a kilo of coke and a bag of thousands of dollars. She was arrested and charged with possession with intent to deliver. She was given such a high bail, she couldn't afford it. She had to stay in jail. And she was facing decades of prison. She had never done drugs before. The drugs were not hers, but because it had her name on it, it was her house, she was charged. Now, the boyfriend was arrested as well, but he did nothing to try and clear her name. Months and months of trials and motions and this and that going on. When she was at her most desperate point, when she was thinking that all was lost, she remembered some of God's word that she learned growing up in the church. And she remembered the parts about being able to come before the throne of grace. And so she went to the Lord in prayer and poured out her soul to God day after day, moment after moment, constantly during her stay in jail. It took some time. And I don't have the time to explain everything that happened. But little by little, a seeming miracle after miracle after miracle occurred. The judge's heart was changed, the DA's heart was changed, and things got straightened out. Eventually, the charges were dropped, her name was restored. When she got free, she went and got her life right with God. And she served the Lord ever since. She waited until she was at her most desperate point before going to the throne of grace. Even though ever since she gave her life to Christ, she has had that access. Christian, you don't have to wait until everything falls apart for you to go to the Lord in prayer. You have that full access right now. You want to see things change in your household? Go before the throne of grace. You want to see this church have kingdom impact? Go before the throne of grace. Are you concerned about all the mess that's going on in the world? Go before the throne of grace. Here's the thing. The Bible does not say when you have concerns, when you have worries, when you have whatever, it does not say complain about it. It doesn't say fret about it. It says, pray about it. So go before the Lord in prayer. And so here's my challenge to all of us. I want everyone here, everyone watching at home and through the internet, I want everyone to commit to pray at least 10 minutes a day and see what kind of awesome things God does. At least 10 minutes. That means you can do more. You can do it at home. You can do it at work. You can do it in the car. You can, if you're doing it in the car, preferably your eyes are open. But you can pray 10 minutes a day. Here's the thing. If you can watch TV and you can be on your phone for hours upon hours upon hours every day, can't you give God 10 minutes? That seems like so much. I can play Fortnite for hours on end, but I can't give God 10 minutes. Oh, please. Let's stop making excuses. Here, let's get real a moment. We're lazy. Let's get real. I mean, I'm lazy too. Hey, I'm not just throwing y'all under the bus. I'm throwing me under the bus too. I'm lazy. Yet we have this privilege. Let's give God at least 10 minutes a day. See what wonderful things God does in our lives, in our church, in our community, and around the world. Maybe today, during the invitation / the last song that we sing, maybe you want to come to the altar, pray. Pray that God helps you to pray. That sounds weird, but I mean, we can pray about anything to God, right? So pray, Lord, I have a hard time praying. Help me to pray. That's part of it. Or maybe, there is a burden that you have been carrying and for some reason you haven't brought it before the Lord in prayer. Come to the altar and bring it before the Lord in prayer. But there might be some here who don't have access to God because you've never trusted in Christ. I've done the church thing, I've done the spiritual thing, but you've never trusted in Christ. He alone is your high priest. He is the only way into the throne room of God. And He alone. There is no other God, there is no other Savior. This is it, Jesus Christ. And if you've never trusted in Jesus Christ during the invitation, I'm going to be up front here, and you just come up and you say, Al, I've done a whole lot of churchy things, but I've never trusted in Christ. I want to give my life to Christ. Man, what a way to celebrate. We would love to celebrate that with you. And so we're going to...
Thanks for listening to the podcast of Harvest Baptist Church. For more information, visit us online at harvest-baptist.org or find us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. You can also find info on our children's ministry on Facebook at Harvest Baptist Children's Ministry or on Instagram at kidsquest_HBC. Our student ministry is on Facebook at HBC Vertical Student Ministry and on Instagram at VSM_HBC. We welcome you to join us on Sunday mornings at 10. We are located at 8999 Wall Triana Highway in Harvest, Alabama. Thanks for listening, and God bless.